for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Saturday afternoon, 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, September the 2nd, 2006. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of this service, teaching on Who He Is as Father.
There is a seriousness that God is calling us to. There is a depth in Him that we're going to all have to reach. There's a place in Him where the hurts and the pains and the mysteries of yesterday will be the revealed truths of today. For He is calling us in under His wings. He's calling us in like little chicks. And He's saying, trust me. Come in unto me. Let me heal you. Let me love on you. Let me take the oppression. Let me take the doubt and the unbelief. I can handle it. I can handle it, saith the Lord. For I can handle it. For it has been sent to you from a place that you do not understand. A place that was not made for you. But I was made for you. I made you and I thought of you. I created everything for you. And I have given you dominion and power and authority through my Son Jesus. And this day I call you in unto me for healing. This day I call you unto me for understanding. I want you to understand me. Open yourselves up to me and hear my voice and hear my heart. Receive into yourself my mind. I'm the only mind that you should have. I've spoken in my word. In my word I've said, in 2 Timothy 1:7, I have given you my word. For I, God, have not given you a spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Why do you waver back and forth between what I tell you and what I need for you to do? Why do you let the enemy come in? Don't be bound by man's traditions. Oh, I put man here to lead and to guide. But yea, even he sometimes is not what I called him to be. And he's spoken words over you that have caused you to be stagnated, that have caused you not to be able to move ahead. Because when men and women of God and authority speak over you things that are not of me, you become stagnated. And today, I release you into my hands.
Thank you, Lord.
I am all that you need.
Yes.
For truly the man of God has spoken my word. And he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when you don't understand, when you don't understand something that you've heard or something that you're feeling, go to my word. You can depend on my word, for my word is true. You can depend on my word. My word is true. My word is life. My word is yea and amen. Trust in my word. Trust in me. Shando robo shekinana sikereririoso. Les socoramasi kiri dio sotere namasi kiri dio. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Today is a good day to die.
Yeah.
It's a good day to die to everything that you think you know. And to begin to believe in the God that we think we know, but we really don't know. We want to know. We cry out to Him and He is there. We look for miracles. We look for signs. We look for wonders because our Adamic nature, that Adamic nature in us, still wants to be able to feel and touch something for real. And He's saying to us that if we're going to get with Him, we've got to step out of the box. We've got to take the limits off and step into the Spirit with Him and see people the way He sees them, through His eyes. We've got to get a kingdom vision of the purpose and the plans that God has for our lives. And it's all tied up in one thing. L-O-V-E. John 3:16. Let's go there.
Hallelujah.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In these six verses can be found the heart of God, the answer to your questions about God's character, the reason why you will be judged, the motive for the death of God's only Son, the need for your deliverance, why God, Abba, Father, is as relevant today as He was 2,000 years ago. These six verses tell us of a sacrifice that only our spirit man can interpret for us in a way that we can comprehend. 1 John 4:12 through 19. Keep your finger there, and I'm going to read in the Amplified Version, John 3:16. Listen. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten, unique, which means there's no other kind, Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on Him to destruction be lost, but have eternal and everlasting life. So, what can we learn in just that verse alone? What does it say in John 4:12-19? You read from KJV and I'll read from the Amplified. 1 John 4:12 through 19. But I'm really interested in the 18th verse. Let's go to the 18th verse. Read the 12 through 19. But let's go to the, let's start with the 17th. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. 18. Amplified. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. So there is no fear in love. And our example is that God says there is nothing more masculine than to express love. So these six verses lay a foundation for the kind of character that even your husband to be, or that you have, should have. There is a maturity and a strength in being able to love. So when you pray, when you prophesy over he that is coming or he that you already have, this is what you pray and you prophesy for him. John 3:16. So it is in that very scripture that everything that God is revealed. His love for us has no depth and no boundaries. The man that you're with, you want him to have love that has no depth or no boundaries. So what are you confessing over him? What are you confessing over the one that you expect to come? Are you confessing out of your fear and your past experiences? Or are you looking at John 3:16? That's a good map for those of us that are waiting. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Let's read verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find what? Salvation. What? And be made safe. What? And sound through him. In 1990, a television documentary on the U.S. Civil War featured a letter by a soldier killed at the Battle of Bull Run. His name was Sullivan Ballou. He realized the peril he faced in the looming clash, so he wrote a poignant letter to his wife, and he said, "If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I loved you, nor that when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." In other words, should I not return to you as I was, to know I love you. And before he dropped his head into the locks of his shoulders with his last breath, he said, Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I'm so overwhelmed. Verse 16 tells the whole story. If you don't get it, verse 17 repeats it. That Jesus cannot judge but for the three S's: salvation, faith, and sound. And in 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, the 13th chapter and the 13th verse. Would somebody read that? 1 Corinthians 13:13. If you have it, please read it out loud. Amplified. And so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, conviction, and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for us and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. How much does he love? Have you thought about it lately? So you see here that love never fails. It cannot fail. Because God is love. And God cannot fail. He speaks. It is. He cannot lie. So if he said it, that's it. He says that he loves you. He says that he loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that you may live. Amen. And that you may live a life full of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, but this life itself will bring trials. Oh, but this life is full of vicissitudes. Jesus knew that. He went through it. He had a friend that turned him in and hurt him at the end. He had a friend that he loved that didn't believe him almost until the end. Everything that we have experienced, everything that we think we've experienced, he already knows. We will live this life, and there will be days when there will be so much joy. Joy in the face of a small child that is born into your family. Joy in the life of mother so-and-so who has lived to be 80 years old, and all she ever talked about was teeth. Amen. Knowing that in her last breath that she will go to another place that we all want to go to. Amen. In all of these things, we have to realize that we are not the only ones. Yes. And even if you feel like a martyr, even if you don't feel like that, is it unto death? Is what you're feeling or going through unto death on the cross? Will we live to the place where we've been beaten until we are unrecognizable? Are we going to be to that place where we hang for so long our bodies ache? There's not a place on us that does not ache. Whatever we're going through, is it that bad? Is it so bad that he cannot reach down and touch your heart and get you to realize that no matter what, he still loves you? You cannot fall off the wagon too many times for him. You cannot do He went through, we will go through. You know, I often wonder when I first got saved and salvation came. I wonder why nobody told me that salvation did not mean that it was going to be a perfect walk and everything was just going to be peachy cream for me. It was not, it has not, and I've learned to deal with it through God and through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that's what we have to do. For some reason, God is saying here today that we've got to grab a hold of who He is. We've got to stop allowing the Word to be Logos. The Word has to become alive. It's got to be Rhema. It's got to move from your head to your heart. Because the time is coming, folks. You're going to have to make a decision. Who are you going to believe? And what are you going to do when the time to make a choice comes? Will you love Him enough to even just be a little bit like Jesus? Will we go to our jobs and not laugh at jokes that are not funny, that are crude and racial? Will we go to our jobs and to the meat market and we will speak to anybody anytime? And if God says, tell them about me, we'll do it. Have we gotten there yet? How long have we been saved? How long have we been telling this to everybody? We got to grow up. We have to grow up.
Yes, amen.
We have to begin to step out on the Word of God and believe Him for miracles.
Amen.
Not just to pay the light bill, but to get out of debt.
Amen.
To pay off all the bills, not just one.
Yeah.
And to begin to walk into that place that God has told us to walk in, where we are not borrowers, but we are lenders.
Amen.
And that this world will come to us and will ask us for money.
Yeah.
And by the Spirit of the living God, we'll go yay or nay. Oh. Do you really trust God? Belief and trust, they're like cousins. They're always spoken of together. So if you believe, then you trust. If you trust, then you believe. So don't tell me that you believe, but you don't trust God for this, or you don't trust God for that, because somehow or another between trust and belief, you done short circuit it.
All right.
We gotta believe and trust. If we believe it, then we trust Him to do it. If we trust Him to do it, then I believe it.
Amen.
And there is no short stopping. I'm telling you, there is no short stopping. None whatsoever. You're going to find that there was an old song. I don't even remember all of it. It just impressed me when I was a child. A song would say, 99 and a half won't do. You got to make 100. And if you're not wrapped up and caught up in the love of God, and He's not your umbrella, if you cannot decide, like if you hear yourself on one hand preaching the Word of God and then cursing and confessing ungodly things on the other, if you cannot realize that you've got tears growing up in the wheat of your heart and that only God can separate them out, then you're still on milk. You've got to know when you're in sin.
Hallelujah.
I mean, there's nothing that I do. As soon as I do something, I don't know immediately. I just messed up.
That's right.
Man, I just messed up. I got to apologize. I got to do something to make this right. Because it don't feel good. And we've been talking about not being able to sleep. Man, that is one way for me not to sleep at night, is to go lay down thinking I'm all bad in a bag of chips.
Oh, dear.
And lay there, and all of a sudden see the face of someone. But I've either said something, did something, or didn't say something, or didn't do something. And that face is right there. Oh my God. What a repentant place to be. You know, you try to fall off to sleep. So you got to repent. And then you got to get up that next day and take care of it. I'm telling you, if you repent and you don't do it the next day, you won't sleep the next night. I'm not telling you something somebody told me. I'm telling you what I know. You ain't going to sleep. But when you love God and you allow Him to operate in your heart and you want to have all that He has for you, then what you're saying to Him, I want all that you gave Jesus. And if you give me all that you gave Jesus, then I'm going to suffer. We need to stop thinking we're not going to suffer. But the suffering is graced by God's love and mercy. And knowing that it's only for a little time. It ain't going to kill you. Well, it might kill yourself and your flesh. But you ain't going to really die from it. Get over it. What is in the middle of all of what it is you're going through that He wants to teach you? You only get in the press. You only get under pressure when there's something inside of you that He's been talking to you about, and you know it, and you caught a glimpse of it, and you think that it's there, but you can't quite get a hold of it, or you have got a hold to it. You know it's there. You want out. But we always like to want to tell Him how to get us out. We want to get out in the bedroom with the door closed and just me and Him. Not. It doesn't happen like that most of the time. Someone is always around. And even if it is in your bedroom with the door closed, the host of heaven, the host of hell, and God Himself is with you. So you still ain't by yourself.
That's right.
So get over it. Oh, God bless you. Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, it's funny. Sometimes you feel like when you get up and you have people that God has called you to minister to, you don't know if He's going to give you 5 pages, 3 pages, or 2 pages. But I do know that when you come to the end of whatever it is you think that you got to say, that you need to say, well, that's it. Because I'm not going to make up nothing. I'm not going to try to pump it up. I'm not going to try to make it anything except that God is saying that He loves each one of you. And that His umbrella of love is so big that He has us all covered.
Amen.
He's got our name. He's got your address.
Yes.
He knows the things that are wrong with you. And know what? Everything that's wrong with you can be fixed. I've heard stories of some friends of mine getting operations and tummy tucks, all that stuff. You know what? God doesn't make no mistakes. I ain't artificially doing nothing. I ain't enhancing nothing. It's all just gonna be just like this when He comes. This is the way He sent me. This is where I'm going back. Okay. And I think that's the way we need to look at it. There are things that if you don't like the fact that you're a little more plump than you were when you were 12 or 13, just get a 40-day fast and pull back from the table.
There you go.
It's just that simple. You know, we all know that there's addiction. Get somebody to pray with you about it. I mean, and you know what I'm saying? Some people are only 50 pounds overweight, but that 50 pounds means a lot at the height and the breadth of where they are. So it's all relevant. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's all relevant. And some of us are overweight in the head. We got so much word knowledge that it's unbelievable, but none of it has gotten into our heart. We still cut everybody off at the light trying to get to church. Get by what we do and what we say. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. When I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a woman, I've done with childish ways and have put them aside. Have we? Can we, will we do that today? Will we let go of the arrested development and push aside the things that happened to us when we were younger that kept us from growing up? Will we do that? Will we do that in this hour so that we can fully mature in God? So that we can carry the standard, the banner, and race like David did. Run through a troop and leap over a wall for the God that sent his only son, that we might die. That we might have a right to the tree of life. That we might see through his eyes his people as they suffer day by day by day. Many with more money than we'll ever see. They suffer. They suffer because now they're concerned about who wants their money.
Right.
How can they hold on to their money? And most of them leave it to kids who are unsaved and don't give a flip.
That's true.
And the money is gone. What does it matter? To have it all and not know Jesus. That is our commission.
Yes.
That's our job.
Yes.
To love our people. To care for them no matter what. I don't care if they chose an alternate lifestyle. You know, the thing that always amazes me, God always puts me in those places. And you run across men and women who are gay, but they're not happy. I don't know why they call it that.
That's right.
Some of them are 78 years old and they're not looking like they did when they were 38. And they're tired and they're worn and they need Jesus.
Amen.
How can we sit in our churches and in our lofts and watch them seek something better and be afraid to tell them about the Jesus that loves them? The Jesus that died on the cross for them. Oh, and there are people who, there are conspiracies every day. People allow themselves to be caught up in demonic conspiracies against you every day because they do not know who you are. But the demons operating in them do. Do not think that they don't know who you are. So stop asking the question, well, I don't know anything. I don't know why they're always picking at me. And why is she jealous? My God, she's got a husband and she's driving a Ferrari. She sees something in you she ain't got. Come to the place of knowing that you are the most beautiful people in the world. That God is so in love with you. He treasures you. You are his prized possession. And the devil in hell knows it. And he's going to do everything he can to get you to think that you are not. Which is why we have so many bipolar rebellious people. Because they're busy believing what the world and what the devil has told them instead of believing what God says about them. The world of bipolarism is a long, hard road, folks. I've been in that road since 1986. And it's a hard road. And you come out because people love you. You come out because you begin to cry out to God, I don't want nobody else's mind but yours. Because everywhere I look, everybody crazy as I am. Even people who are bipolar know who's crazy and who's not. Sometimes their discernment is better than ours. Well, man, there's some churches, people who are bipolar, they won't step inside, and you just run it up in there. Praise God. And they already know the preacher was down on 3rd Street with them hanging out drinking beer last week. Mm-hmm. But the preacher figured y'all ain't going to believe the person that y'all talking to because they bipolar. Wake up, y'all. It's a long, hard road, and I assure you, in these last days, there will be more and more people coming to our doors that are going to be bipolar, double-minded, or schizophrenic, whichever way you want to call it.
Yeah.
They are coming, and they're going to come by the droves. And unless we have settled within ourselves who we are in God, unless we have settled within ourselves and God is in our hearts, and they look into our eyes and they can see the love of God, they're not going to make it. I am not ready for that. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready to take that responsibility with me when it's time for me to stand before Gabriel. When they pull out the book of life, I am not ready to hear that I didn't stay in front of God enough to get enough love to be able to pray for everybody that God sent. I'm not telling you, I'm not ready for this. Some people believe earth right now is hell. You know what I'm saying? Well, I get a feeling the real Hades is worse than this. I ain't going. I'm not buying a ticket. I'm not buying a ticket through unbelief and doubt. You can buy the ticket if you want, but I'm going to tell you right here that I'm not going to sell you one. I will not stand up there and have God say, how come you didn't tell my people what I told you to tell them on Saturday, September 1st? Oh, no, no, no. No. There is a place in God called Father. And he told me, he said, I will teach who I am as a father. And my responsibility is to tell you who he is as father. Do you know how much I went through to find out what it was? When nobody else is around, when life is so confusing and you know you're in the wine press, and things are hitting you left and right. Every fire you put out, there's another one. Mm-hmm. It's all of a father that you cry out at night and say, Mom, I need you. Just hug me. Just hug me. That's all I want. And I'll get up tomorrow and I'll do what you want me to do. But right now, I need to know you're real. I need you to hug me. And all of a sudden, the room filled with the smell of roses.
Yes.
Like something you never smelled before. And you're engulfed in a blanket. Like you need something I don't have the words for. But I like the womb, the matrix of God, and all I could smell was roses. And when I woke up the next day, I knew that he had hugged me.
Praise God.
He will hug you.
Yes.
He will love you. Don't spend your whole life saying that you don't know him as a father because he stands and he waits for you to say, Abba, Father, I need you.
that you will come. Because we need to understand him as Father so we can explain it to others who come that need a father too. That's okay. I must have held my head in the proverbial bucket that Glenn was talking about earlier today. I felt like I held my head in that bucket from 1986 to 1992. Three times a week. They're just getting rid of stuff. Mm-hmm. And realizing that many of life experiences that I have since incurred, that I was neither high nor crazy. Mm-hmm. So everything is a first. Mm-hmm. So you want to know why I'm excited about things. Because everything's a first to me. Because before when I did it, I was either high or I didn't have my right mind, either one. So then all of a sudden you know God, you ain't high no more, and you kind of can balance things out. And you know, I believe in my heart that there is a place still yet that God is consistently delivering me from when it comes to being bipolar or schizophrenic or double-minded. And I think that it's also because it's like a little click that when I start to move a little too far in pride or I get a little too rebellious or I don't pay attention to him too much. It's like I can see that thing coming over the mountain for me, and I'm like, oh no. See, because anything that you have had to work for, pay a price for, no one will come and take that from you very easily. See, and I will fight the devil tooth and nail. I will not allow him to have my mind back. See, because once you have tasted, honey, once you know what it is to have a mind that is clear and have a mind that can decipher, that can understand, and that can speak wisdom, you'll fight for it. You'll fight for it. So maybe that was Paul's thorn in the side. I don't know. That's mine. When I get too far to the left or the right, I'm like, ooh. I'm coming back. So praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God. I don't know whether or not I've been able to really explain who you are. All I know is, ladies, that the next time that I really understood how he was as Father, and some of you have heard this before, is my life was so messed up. And this was, I don't know if I was asleep or what, but I tell you, I know it was true. And I was so messed up, I said, God, please, 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 help me. Help me, help me, help my mind to be straight. Because once you come out, then you understand. And if you start wavering back and forth, it's like, no, I don't want that, help me. And it was so much coming at me, and I was fighting so hard. And people were praying for me, and I was getting deliverance, massive deliverance. And only to find out that a lot of it had to do with the medication they gave me that was wrong medication, so I wasn't even bipolar anyways. I was menopausal. Can you believe that?
Yes, you can. Yes, you
can. They charge too much. I was menopausal, and they put me on that medication like I was bipolar. All I know is that I was just crying out to God, and all of a sudden I was standing in front of these huge doors. I mean, they were huge oak doors, and there was this tall angel. I couldn't even see his face, and I just felt like, you know, like I was like right here just under his kneecaps, and I couldn't even look up. All I know is I had this doll in my hand. And I was going past him, and I said, I want to see my father. And the doors just flew open. And as I was standing there, all I could see was white robe. A white robe, and it was going round and around and around. And I began to climb on the folds of that robe, just climbing and climbing, because I wanted to see my father. I wanted to see my father. I didn't want all of this mess. I needed to see him. I wanted him to be with him. I wanted him to talk to me. So I climbed and I climbed and I climbed, and I was so tired. And when I got to the end of the rope, I was right here. And I couldn't see his face or anything. But I just took the doll and I held it up and I said, "Will you fix my doll?" And he fixed it. Because it was symbolic of my hurt. So he is Abba Father. Boy, he's a warrior. And he will fight for you. But he is your Father. And he loves you. God, he loves you so much. Father, thank you for your time with this. I give you the praise and the glory and all of the honor. I thank you for just being who you are. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides us into all truth of all things, God. I thank you, Father. I worship you and I adore you. Father, I thank you that your word has fallen on good ground and that it's good seed and that it will grow up and that it will manifest itself through the personalities and the characters of these your women who have gathered here today to hear a word from you and to receive from you what you have for them. God, we will praise you. We will honor you all of the days of our lives with all that we have. Because today we recognize that you love us beyond anything that we can understand. But where we are, we say, "More of you, Lord. We want more of you." And we give you praise and glory and all of the honor, God, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And we're going to close the breaches and the hedges. Father, we close up. I close up any breach in the lives, in our lives that would give Satan and demons access in the name of Jesus. Ecclesiastes 10 and 6. 10 and 8. In Ecclesiastes 10 and 8 again, Lord, I pray for every hedge broken in our lives to be restored in the name of Jesus. Ezekiel 22 and 30. God, I stand in the gap and make up the hedge for these, my sisters. Ephesians 4 and 27. Lord, I repent. We repent and receive forgiveness for any sin that has opened the door for any spirit to enter and operate in our lives. Isaiah 58 and 12. Lord, we will be a rebuilders of the wall and a repair of the breach. Proverbs 15 and 4. God, we renounce all crooked speech that would cause a breach in the name of Jesus. Lord, in Isaiah 30 and 26, we ask you to bind up all breaches. In Nehemiah 4 and 7, let every breach be stopped in the name of Jesus. In Isaiah 60 and 18, let our walls be salvation and our gates be praise. Lord, we pray for a hedge of protection around our minds, body, finances, possessions, and family in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, I remove all false burdens placed on us by people, leaders, or churches in the name of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 6. We remove all heavy burdens, God. I remove them off of the lives of your people by the enemy in the name of Jesus. God, let your anointing break the enemy's burden off our necks and let every yoke be destroyed that's spoken of in Isaiah 10 and 27. God, in Psalms 81 and 6, remove our shoulders from every burden. 1 Peter 5 and 7, Lord, we cast our cares upon you, Lord. Lord, in Psalms 55 and 22, we cast our burdens upon you, Lord, and you sustain us. Isaiah 9 and 4, Lord, break the yoke of the enemy's burden and break the staff and the rod of the oppressor as in the day of Midian. Let every yoke of poverty be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let every yoke of sickness be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Galatians 5 and 1, let every yoke of bondage be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let every unequal yoke be broken in the name of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14. God, I destroy every yoke and burden of religion and legalism on our lives by religious leaders in the name of Jesus. Matthew 23 and 4. And Zechariah 12 and 3, let every burdensome stone be released from our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, Matthew 11 30, we take upon our lives the yoke and the burden of you alone, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
of you alone. And we thank you, Lord God. We give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.